Let us all say amen. I want to thank those brothers that have gone before me that have led us up to this point in our afternoon worship to our God. I want to thank and welcome all of you to our afternoon service. Thankful for those that have chosen to worship this afternoon with us as we look at the Word of God. We're in 1 John chapter 5, scripture that was read in your hearing on this afternoon, 1 John chapter 5, as we look at the Word of God. But I also want to extend an invitation to those that may not be members of the Church of Christ. I want to say to you that you are VIPs, and we want you to know some foundational things from the Word of God, the first of which I will identify from Jeremiah's writing, Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, when Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized that when it came to man's spiritual walk, it was not in him to direct his steps. He needed someone. He needed a God to direct him. And so Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses number 33, when he offered the Sermon on the Mount, he laid down for those that would follow him how and what should be the priority in their life. And Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus prioritized that man should seek that kingdom and also the righteousness of God. And then when he met with Nicodemus by night in John chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible said, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which one was to prioritize and have as his righteousness, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a person is born again spiritually, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then we see that that kingdom came to fruition in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when about 3,000, the Bible said, was added to the Lord. And Luke wrote in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So I want to say to those that are listening this afternoon, if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are following from the Bible that direction that you need to follow. We also want you to prioritize for your life the kingdom of God, and then we will share with you what Jesus shared with Nicodemus, how one can see the kingdom of God by being born again, and then the Lord, in being born again, the Lord would add you to the church where the saved are. This afternoon, we want to look at, I know my subject title was given, I want to correct that subject title. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there are three that bear witness in earth." And so that's what we want to speak from on this afternoon. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Apostle John writes to Christians about the loving of one's brother is one proof of their love for God. The loving of one's brother is one proof of their love for God. And I want us to see that as we look at the text on this afternoon. I want to actually begin in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21. The reason for that is I want us to be mindful that chapters and verse separation were not a part of the original epistle. Therefore, the last verse of what is chapter 4 is connected with the first verse of chapter 5, and I'll show you how. John wrote in verse number 21 of John chapter 4, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Then he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So what John was writing in the continuation is, who is one's brother? How do you know one brother? And it's not only he that loveth his brother, but also if he loveth his brother, he would also believe that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Also, he says that everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. Everyone that loveth Christ, love God, also love the one that is begotten of him, and that is Jesus Christ. So those verses are connected, even though man, in their putting book, chapter, and verses to the writing, which allows us to find scripture very easily by giving book, chapter, and verse. But again, I want to remind us, when John wrote this epistle, it was one letter and not with the book, chapter, and verses that we have. So John says that that person who loves his brother and loves God is one that has spiritual life. Again, that is one proof of one's love for God is your love for your brother. And I'll show that in the text. Note what he said in verse number 2. How are we to know that we truly love God's children? How can we know that? John said it. He said, by this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. I want to say to all of us, one cannot separate his love for God and his love for his brother. That's why John said in verse number 20 of 1 John chapter 4, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So that's why I'm saying this letter is continual and it flows together. We show our love for God and how we love our brother. Note what John said, that Jesus, what John wrote, what Jesus said in John chapter 13. And again, we're talking about love. We talked about last week for the love of God, but love is an identifying mark for the Christian. Note what Jesus said in John 13 and verse number 34. He gave them a new commandment. He said, I give unto you that ye love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So again, that's the identifying mark, that Jesus said how you would know that one is a disciple. And I'm saying to all of us, those that are members of the Lord's church, those that have brothers and sisters in the Lord's body, if we hate that person or dislike that person, John said, and I say I love God, John said, you are and I am a liar. How can I love someone that I can see hate someone that I can see and love someone that I cannot see? John writes, this is the commandment from God, verse 21, that we love God and we love our brother also. He says, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Well, in that text, keep, that word actually means keep on keeping. So God, John wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep on keeping his commandments. And then John says something about those commandments. He says, his commandments are not grievous. What are you saying, John? John is saying that when it comes to keeping the commandments of God, the commands of God ought not cause difficulty in the one that's doing them, nor are they stressful. If I find stress in doing the will of God, I may need to check myself, because John says his commandments are not grievous. They should not cause anger or irritation. When you show love to your brother, love makes things lighter. Or whatever you're going through, when you have love for that person, it makes for a more joyous time, a more pleasant time. It's just that bond, that fellowship that John wrote about in 1 John chapter 1, when he said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not truth. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, 1 John 1, 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continuous cleanse us from all our sin. But it's about loving that brother, loving your sister, having the love that John writes about on this occasion, that love that we should have. And again, he says, when it comes to the commandments of God, those commandments are not difficult, not stressful. They do not cause irritation to do. When you have love, the love of God, you can keep the commandments of God and do the will of God. And then John says, for whosoever, or whatsoever, excuse me, is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, he says, even our faith. So John says, whatsoever, or and whosoever is spiritually born of God, you will defeat or prevail over the world. And he says, and this is the victory, the success that we have, that overcometh the world. And so what John says, that we can overcome the world. We talked about in a previous lesson that greater. John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, just making this letter that we read, it's a continual letter. And sometimes you can go back and pull scriptures that will give insight to scriptures that you're reading. What John said in verse 1 John 4 and 4, you are God, little children, and have, notice now, overcome them. because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, we can be influenced by the Word of God, the Spirit of God who gave the Word. It is greater than the devil and the temptations. And that's what John was writing about, that even though it may be a continual struggle, however, we can win this battle called life. We can win this war against the devil, even though it's a struggle. Sometimes it's difficult. We may run into financial difficulties. And I'm learning more and more, sometimes it's the stress of others that are placed on you that can cause your walk with the Lord to be difficult. But John writes again, we can win this battle against the devil. The world is the world of evil, that which is opposed to God. John said, we can win. He said, how do we win? He said, even our faith. You win by your faith. Faith is the thing that gets us through. Faith is what causes one not to give up. It is my faith that I have. You know, when I think about what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number, I'm going to start at verse number 4 to find a verse number 5. Paul wrote, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. And John said, because of these tribulations, Paul said in verse number 5, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, for this cause, Paul said, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The last thing a parent wants to see in their children is all their rearing and trying to get them to walk upright, and then you look back and you see that they've left the teachings of yours and they're gone into the world and living ungodly. Well, what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5 is the faith. He said, I want to know your faith, because if your faith is strong, if you have the faith that you trust in God, when the devil tempts you, the labor will not be in vain. Why? Because, as John wrote, even our faith, it's the faith. You got to trust in God. You got to have that faith that John is writing about. He says, even our faith, you know, that faith that we have allows us to sometimes resist the temptations of the world, and it also can give us determination to serve God. So sometimes we may not be at our best, but I'm going to serve God because of my faith that I have in God. I'm going to deal with the temptations of the world and allow them, push them back. Why? Because it is our faith that we have in God that John writes about. And how does one overcome the world is, again, it's that faith. John said it in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 9. I'm again showing you how this epistle, I can just go back and pull scripture that connect to other verses. John said in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. And that commit sin means keep on sinning. Why? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot continue to sin because he is born of God. And so what John was writing here, that seed is from Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. The seed is the word of God. When one has the word of God in him, he can overcome the world. John wrote that, Jesus said that in Luke's writing in Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We need the word of God in us to influence us to do that which is right and righteous. We need the word of God in us to protect us getting a vaccine, a vaccination. It's one that we get. We know we have many people today that we are talking about getting people vaccinated and all those things. Well, let me just say this while I'm at this point in my lesson. For those that say, well, I'm not going to be, I don't want to be vaccinated, I won't be vaccinated. But understand this here. If you grew up in this country, when you was a child, you've been vaccinated because you had to have shots given to you before you started school. They have mumps, measles, flu, polio. You've gotten shots before. Now, you may make a decision or not, but it's not like you haven't gotten one. And sometimes people say, well, no, I ain't never taken no vaccination. Yes, you did, because I remember when I was growing up, they used to have cards that your parents had to bring, and you had to get those cards checked off that you had this, and it was dated. You had all your shots before you enter school. Let me just enlighten us on that. Now, this ain't the first time that you've been offered a vaccination. And back then, well, for some of us that were children, our parents made those decisions for us that we sometimes now are hesitant to make for ourselves. But back then, our parents made decisions. We were going to get those shots. Why? Because you're going to go to school and get your education. So again, like that, the word of God is like that vaccination, that one, that vaccine that one can get. And it's the word of God that protects us from the world, that we can overcome the world. Why? I can become immune in the sense that I don't go back out into the world. Why? Because I've been vaccinated by the word of God. And John said, this is he, verse 6, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And so John writes, this is he, talking about Christ, who came by water and blood. He said, even Jesus Christ. He said, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is true. So how did Jesus come by water and blood? Well, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, we'll see how John writes that he came by water. In Matthew chapter 3, and I start at verse 13, where the Bible says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Watch verse 16. Then Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. There go your water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. So he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so there's the water. And then the blood in John chapter 19, John 19, and the verse is number 33, where the Bible says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his leg. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. There go your blood. There go your blood. So he came by water, being baptized, and by blood. And so I want to share, as I close this lesson, that in 1 John 5:7, you have something that's called an interpolation. And that is that which is put when words are put into a piece of a writing are sometimes an insertion of words into a conversation, it is called an interpolation. I-N-T-E-R-P-O-L-A-T-I-O-N. And that's what you have in verse number 7, where this writing, from my studying of this, these words were put into the letter, but not in the written text. The Bible says, notice he says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. But then notice in verse number 8, which is my title, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. The Spirit bore witness to both Christ's baptism and his death. The first witness, water, was at the beginning of Christ's ministry, and the second, blood, was at the close of his ministry when he said in John 19 and 30, he said, it is finished. That was the close of Christ's ministry. So there are three that bear witness in the earth, and we just have to believe that which is written, as John, the same John, wrote in John chapter 20. We have to believe that. John chapter 20 and verse number 30, where John wrote, he said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So we know that there are three that bear witness in earth, but also John writes, the things that are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But we have the witness in the earth. John said we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have the water by which he was baptized. And then we have the blood that was there when they pierced his side in his death. So we know from John's writing There are three that bear witness in earth. And if you have not rendered obedience to God yet, then we want to encourage you, as the Bible says, want to persuade you to obey the Lord and become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ. And how does one do that? We got to go to the written word and see how it was done. In Romans letter, Romans chapter number 6, at that time, Paul reminded those Christians about the time when they were in sin. If you're on the call to this afternoon and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want to share in love that right now you're still in your sin. What do you do? Well, Paul answered it. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, or God wouldn't allow it. How shall we that are, notice now, dead to sin, live any longer therein? So what you have to do, what you can do, is you can die to your sin. All the sins that you've done, you can die to them, and they'll be buried. And you do it in water. Notice what he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So you have to be buried with Christ into his death. And you understand that there's water there in baptism. And by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. That's why Paul wrote, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should rise, should walk in the newness of life. So when you are water baptized, having heard the gospel, which is Jesus Christ died for your sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. If you've heard that, you believe it, you repent of your sins, meaning you turn to Christ, you make the confession found in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be water baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, the Lord will add you to the only church that's in the New Testament. That's the Church of Christ, Romans chapter 16 and 16. And so we extend that invitation to you. We're going to also give you a song invitation, and we'll hope that you will respond and show obedience to the Word of God. Thank you very much for your listening this afternoon.